Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kelly Copeland's back with us today to give us some more good word. Word, the Word of God, makes all the difference in your life when you take it and act on it. Amen, Kelly?
Amen.
Gives victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, the Bible says, even our faith. And faith comes by hearing and taking the Word of God. I take it.
You know, I believe real life in Jesus begins when you understand how much He loves you, how much the Father loves you, much we are not orphans. We have a Father. We have a Father who loves us. We have a Father who corrects us.
We have a Savior.
We have a Savior who paid the price, made the way for us, takes everything of the Father's and gives it to us.
It belongs to us now.
And where people, I believe, there's a gap when people are afraid of what the Lord has to say about their life.
That's because they don't understand.
He loves them.
God, or what He says is for us, our benefit.
And you can understand it as a parent. You don't correct your children because you're mad at them, against them, ashamed of them. You correct them because you love them. You correct them because you know there's a better way that makes a happier life for them, and you want the best. Well, there's real true life in God when you begin to know how much He loves you. And I don't even think we can fathom. He wants us to understand, the Word says that He wants us to understand the depth and the breadth and the width and the every dimension of His love for us, the height. He wants that for us. And
That helps us to trust Him so He can move in our lives.
So what we've been talking about these last 2 weeks is, it comes down to this, and I'm not going to re-preach it, but it comes down to this. If we want those deeper things of God, if we want to go be more impactful for Him, if we want to have our lives work in a way that God intended them to, if we want to be like on the forefront of what He's doing, and we want to be in this move of God, that the awakening, if we want ourselves to be awakened, we have to present ourselves to Him. You know, that's one thing I love about you and Dad, and I've watched you all of my life.
You certainly have.
Is that you always presented yourselves to the Lord for Him to deal with you, to correct you. I've heard Dad say it so many times. Lord, You have My permission to stop me, what I'm doing, if it's not right. There were so many times that, you know, He would even apologize to us as kids for something that He did that the Lord corrected Him over, so He'd come apologize to us. Just a total lack of pride there.
God.
Which is how we need to live our lives. And Mom, You, so gracious, so gracious. I've learned a lot about being a mom, being especially of grown kids, from You. Learned a lot about being a good mother-in-law from You.
A good mother-in-law.
A good mother-in-law. In the sense that it's real easy, I think, as a mom to want to control your kids. I mean, you in a sense sort of have to when they're young.
Yeah,
you're leading them. You know, you're leading them. You can't discipline them for control. I mean, it's not your object to control them. Your object is to teach them. So if you are controlling them, you're probably not teaching them. But it does feel like you're controlling their world. And so, to a degree, you are. You know, they're relying on you.
Have to for a while.
But as adults, you know, you don't control them at all. I mean, even giving them advice is, You have to seek
you depend
the Lord.
On you the depend scripture on the scripture that says, raise them up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it.
And my kids, really, they ask me for advice.
Your
and they
good,
get it unsolicited, too. I'm not going to pretend that they don't. But, you know, really, their life is their life. And
they all love the Lord.
They love the Lord. If you get too controlling, you'll control them out of the things of God, out of jumping out in faith when it looks to you like, oh, please don't do that. But they're jumping out in faith because they've been led. So you can't get in the middle of all of that when they're leading their lives for the Lord, especially. Right. So, but you're so great. You're like, y'all just do what you need to do. That whether it was coming home for Thanksgiving or Christmas and, you know, it was, everybody just needs to do what they need to do. And so to lead a life like that is to lead a life of discipline and correction of yourself before the Lord, where He can correct you, but at the same time, giving your family, your children, the ability to be free, to grow, to mess up.
Train up a child in the way he should go.
Even to mess up, you know. Yeah. And sometimes when we mess up, we learn a big lesson that'll keep you from messing up bigger. Mm-hmm. So you can't be afraid of those times. I think the best place to be is where you trust the Lord to teach you.
That's right.
Where you're not afraid to jump out. You're not afraid to step out on the water. But you know He's there. And you are trusting His voice to lead you.
Talk it.
And even if you miss it, you're going to
repent.
Repent, and He's going to lead you and teach you. So staying in that place.
We don't miss it on purpose.
No.
But sometimes we don't know what all we need to know about a thing.
So we're learning.
That's right.
And we need to give others the grace and the space to learn.
Hey, that's a good thing.
The grace and the space.
We got to remember that.
Yeah. So when I find that as I receive the grace, I can give people the space to receive the grace from the Lord themselves. You know, that it's not my responsibility to make somebody else's choices.
But unless they're young.
Right. Even it's my responsibility to teach Emily to make the right choices.
That's right.
But I say all that because we want to position ourselves that way. And I've watched y'all live that way. And that's what's kept you going. It's what's kept you corrected. It's what's enabled the Lord to move you from one thing to the next and grow.
Hearing from heaven's what walking in success really is. Because if you just step out there on your own, you may not do well. But if you'll do what you're told, you'll have blessing all the days of your life.
And don't be afraid of if you were to miss it. Because when your heart is that way, He'll just move you right on. You'll think, I'm not sure if I missed it or not. It worked out so well. You know what I mean? Because you always have a heart that's maneuverable.
That's right. That's a good word.
I like the word malleable and moldable, you know, for the Holy Spirit, for the Lord to lead us. So even in places where maybe you missed it or places where something's hard, you know, if you're in a hard time, it doesn't necessarily even mean you missed it.
No.
Sometimes things come up. They have to be dealt with. Sometimes you go through things, but you realize that on the other side of it, you're better, you're stronger, you grow. And so Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, we finished off with this yesterday, he said, I've begun to just love it when I'm weak. Because when I'm weak, that's when the strength of the Lord is perfected in me. Because it's easy to get to doing things in your own strength. When you hit a place where there's nothing you can do about it, you realize, God, I need you.
Mm-hmm.
In every move with God, every
be
growth
quick to repent and quick
place.
To forgive.
Yeah. Every new place in God begins with knowing you need Him. Knowing you need Him at a deeper level.
Well, there's no doubt about that.
Well,
glory to God.
This Faith That Prevails book by Smith Wigglesworth, he says... he's referring to what Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. I believe, he says, God wants to make real to us all this ideal of humility, putting yourself aside, where we so recognize human helplessness and human insufficiency that we shall rest no more on human plans and human devices and human energy, but continually look to God for His thought, His voice, amen. His power, His all-sufficiency in all things. Jesus lived His life this way, and He said it. Every day, I just suspect that He said it every day. It's recorded in the gospel in one way or another where He said, not my will, but Your will be done. He said it, John 5:30, I like the way it says it. I don't even consult, in the Amplified, I don't consult my own will. It's just the Lord's Father's will that mattered to Him. Well, we have to put ourselves in that place.
And that's where the blessing is.
We put,
so it's not something that's costing us something. Something that's
it's
blessing us.
It's going to bless us.
Increasing us.
So my point the next couple of days is God has reasons for us. Reasons beyond our own success of our own life. There are kingdom reasons. Now more than ever. Kingdom reasons for us to get on the same page as He is. I'm going to go, we've talked about being corrected. Let me read this real quick. And then this is so good. This is a good example of how that can matter. There was a man in a wheelchair. I mentioned the first part of this story. I think it was yesterday when it said this man was paralyzed. And when Smith asked him, what is the greatest desire in your heart? This man had been in a wheelchair 20 years. And this man said, if I could only receive the Holy Ghost.
Praise God.
He had the right, he was on the right page for what he really needed. But Smith said, I looked up and I said, Lord, tell me what to do. He just said, don't just go pray or say something.
Get words.
We need to be where we're hearing from Him what to do, and we'll
remember
be successful.
What the kids used to say about church. They say, we got words.
We've got words. Mm-hmm. He has words and actions. It says, the Holy Ghost is the executive of Jesus Christ and the Father. If you want to know the mind of God, you must have the Holy Ghost to bring God's latest thoughts to you and tell you what to do.
Moment by moment.
Moment by moment. Tell you where to change. I want to read this on page 45 of this
book.
It's
so marvelous to have that.
Listen, this is a different way to think about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are two sides to this baptism. The first is you possess the Spirit. The second is the Spirit possesses you.
Praise God.
Being possessed by the baptizer and not merely possessing the baptizer. There's no limit to the possibilities of such a life because it has God behind it, in the midst of it, and through it. I see people sometimes from time to time very slack, cold, and indifferent. But after they get filled with the Holy Spirit, they become ablaze for God. I believe that God's ministers are to be flames of fire, nothing less than flames, nothing less than mighty instruments. This is not just God's preachers. This is you as a believer.
All of us.
We are all to be equipped to minister to people. And it says, with a heart full of love and such depth of consecration that God's taken full charge of the body and it exists only
praise
that
God.
It may manifest
now that's
the
where
glory
freedom is.
Of God.
Amen.
Not only is this freedom for us, Mom, this is free. When you get to this stage of it, and it really it's a growth, it's decisions that you make, it's a turning over your life to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit for this correction we've been talking about, so He can move you. If He can't correct you, He can't move you. If He can't teach you, you can't change.
If you don't hear one thing, you won't hear the other.
Right. And if you're stubborn, you'll be like in Hebrews, a stubborn heart that's hard. And you'll live your life with Him loving you and wanting all these things, but you'll live your life right where you're at and maybe regress.
You want a pliable heart.
And that's not
heart.
Pliable. That's a good word. So, but when we get this way, it becomes about the kingdom. We're talking, what I want to talk to you about today and tomorrow is kingdom impacting life.
But when you get that right, you get everything right.
Everything. This
in
is,
your life.
This is where we're at.
That's good.
So with
I
Him
like
possessing
it.
Us, Him leading us, we come to a place where I want to tell you, like, where the whole correction thing is concerned. Seeing how we talked about the rich young ruler, we've talked about the woman at the well, we've talked about how he changed Paul, we've talked about how he changed Peter. Well, he talked about Ananias. Now, I want to get us really deep
talk
here.
Talk about how he changed Kelly.
We talked about how he changed Kelly. I'm sure Gloria. It's written in heaven. That'll be
Everything
fun.
Everything changed.
That'll be fun to read his perspective on Kelly's change. Okay, so we're going to Revelation.
Oh, boy.
I am not.
Takes that, does it?
Hilton Sutton or Billy Brim. We all know so much about Revelation because
you do have a Bible.
People, but I have a Bible. I can read it, and I can see some things that I believe we are going to be stepping into.
Praise God, I want to hear that.
And there's certainly a word here that we need to pick up on from Jesus himself. These are in red. And somebody might say, well, I think that's for the last days. Well, guess what? I believe we're here. And like I've always heard you say in the word, whether today is the last day or not, we are supposed to live like it is.
Whether it's the last days, yeah.
The last days. But I really believe that we are approaching these things quickly,
we
rapidly.
We know for sure it's our last days.
And we know for sure things
what
are changing.
What if we only had 100 years left, you and me? That would be our last days.
And there are corrections in here that we need to take seriously.
Oh, yeah.
And in all these things where it says the angel of the Lord brought this message from Jesus to the churches, this is the message to the churches. It doesn't say this is a message to the world. This is a message to the churches, and there are things we need to look at all of it.
Amen.
And let Him look into our lives.
If you want the blessing to work in your life.
And if you want these things to be true, you know, He says, there's a place in here. He says He wants to sit down with us.
Praise
He
God.
Wants to sup with us.
Glory.
He wants to, there are things promised in here about being faithful. I love these things. Let me read you a few promises before we get into the correction.
give us that part.
He's so good. He says,
I see
the good things you're doing. I'm just kind of all over right now.
You should
but
be
he
good
says,
at that.
I am good at that. But he says in chapter 2, verse 7, anybody with ears to hear, which is the phrase he used when he was here on the earth, he said, if you have ears to hear, let him listen and let him understand. And he's what was he doing? He was sowing the word, sowing these things into people. We need to let our ground of our heart be available for him to sow into. He says, everyone who's victorious, I'll give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God.
Praise
that
God.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Whoever's victorious will not be harmed by the second death. I'm just skipping around here. Whoever's victorious, I will give some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven. Woo!
Glory
I'm like,
God.
I want to know what that is. Manna from heaven. I'll give each one a white stone, and on that stone will be engraved a new name that no one understands except the one who receives it. I'm like, what's my new name? Can we find ourselves in here? We can if we're available for His correction. He says He wants to come in. I love this. Let me read this, and then I want to read a couple of specific things. He says in Revelation 3:19, I correct and discipline everyone I love. Mm-hmm. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. In other words, don't be thinking, I don't need correction anymore. The more you know, the more you need to be corrected. You know why? Mm-hmm. Because the more you know, the more important it is that you
the
do
more
right.
More responsibility.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to correct, you know, a private in the army. But, I mean, he may make a mistake. Masses of people won't die. But if a general messes
That's
up, things, people get hurt. So, look at this. Look, he says, I stand at the door and knock. This is where we can't be indifferent to His voice.
Let me in. Let me in.
If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. This is Him That's offering good. To the church. This is not a... people view this for salvation, and it doesn't hurt if you do, but He's knocking at our door. He's knocking at His people's heart to let Him in to this degree.
Oh, He can do something
so
for
He says,
you.
I correct you because I love you and I want to sit with you and have meal with you as my friend. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat on my with my Father on His throne. Anyone, you don't have to be a Bible scholar. Anyone who has ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand. If we have ears to hear, we'll understand.
Amen.
We don't have to have ears. We don't have to understand to have ears to hear. We can just be available to hear the correction.
That's
and
right.
we'll understand Amen. What it means to our lives. So the couple of things I wanted to point out here before we leave today is this one message in Revelation 2:19. Well, 2:18, we'll start there and then we'll pick it up tomorrow. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Thyatira. This is the message from the Son of God, whose eyes are like flames of fire and whose feet are like polished bronze. You know what? I'm going to camp right there and we'll deal with the rest tomorrow, but I want to point out something that occurred to me about eyes like flames of fire and feet like polished bronze. And I thought how much He's been leading me to be at His feet worshiping. Why should I know that His feet are so beautiful like polished bronze? Because I'm worshiping there.
Praise God.
And do you realize that to see His eyes like a flame of fire, you have to behold His face? And you don't behold His face except for in humility. He wants us to see the glory in His face, the fire in His face in these days. He wants us to know Him so intimately that we get to see His face, but that requires
Behold
humility.
Him.
You know, when Mary sat at His feet, she sat at His feet, but it was a worship of what He was saying and hearing of that one thing that He said she knew what one thing she needed. She's looking at His face, but she's sitting at His feet.
Praise
and
God.
Martha was all busy and over here and taking care of business. But he said, you're encumbered with so much.
About many things.
So we're going to let Him correct us into that place at His
That's
feet.
That's what the Word does with us. Glory to God.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.